I love Christmas. It's so fun. It's so nice. So this evening, the last little message on Christmas this year. Luke chapter 2. It's almost here. Luke chapter 2. This is the history of the shepherds who are invited to see the most transformative event in history outside of the resurrection. But this would be the thing that would change. All of time would revolve around this event, the birth of this Messiah that had been promised for years, and now here he is, born and in a manger. And these shepherds are the first ones invited. You notice the wise men, they follow, the sign to them was the star, aside from the scriptures that they had read. And then for the shepherds, it was a manger. And this would be a precursor. Where Jesus Christ is found is going to be a precursor for who he is. And I think there's a lot of these things that are in the Bible, and they seem so coincidental. They just seem so, it just seems too good to be true that all of these things would just fall into line like this. And I know some people get skeptical about that because it just seems too good to be true that you would have all this foreshadowing that would be exactly what would show who Jesus Christ is, these prophecies and this law, and then the birth of Jesus Christ in a manger, you know, where these shepherds were going to be. And so this is the first visitors to the birth of Jesus Christ that we know of. In Luke chapter 2, verse 7 is where we'll start. We'll read a few verses, and the whole idea, this foreshadowing, is that Jesus Christ is going to be the shepherd king. And it wouldn't be new to Israel. As you know, Israel has a history of shepherds being put into ministry. And so we'll cover some of that a little in a second. But let's read these verses. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 7, says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let's now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." So this is, I love this. I mean, I love the whole, you know, this has become the emblematic thing for Christmas, the stable and the shepherds and the manger scene. This is a symbol of Christmas. And so this But let's pray, and I want to give you a few thoughts on, and then particularly some of the lives of these men, and what has just come to pass here. Let me see if that helps there. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for these words. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for life in Christ, and thank you for giving us light and direction and help and comfort and peace and hope. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us apply these things. And again, as always, help us learn the scriptures the way we need to learn them. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. One of the things I noticed here, I'm going to say this, it may not apply to any of you guys, but it's worth noting, because you'll hear from sometimes people that the Bible never celebrates the birth of Christ, or you're not told to celebrate the birth of Christ. Clearly, the birth of Jesus Christ in the Bible is celebrated. Clearly, this is a big event. You have this announcement to these angels. You're going to have people coming from the east to come see this child. And so this is not don't make too much of it event. This is a big deal. This is everything the nation of Israel has been waiting for up until this time. This is the whole point of their nation. And so this is a gloriously celebrated event. And the first visitors that the Lord seems to announce this to, besides, of course, Mary, Joseph, and then some immediate family there, the first visitors that are told about this are these shepherds. Apparently, they're faithful shepherds that when they hear the news, they respond. You know, they want to see what's going on. And so this is... sometimes this news isn't handled this way by people. You know, of course, Herod had different thoughts when he heard this news. The priests and people in Jerusalem had different thoughts when they heard this news. The shepherds, they have apparently been anticipating this. So when they're told about this, they're interested. They're curious. That's good. And so this birth of Jesus Christ is going to be... it's going to be gloriously celebrated, but first by these shepherds, because this is going to be a precursor to this shepherd king. This man is going to be a king, but he's going to be a shepherd king. And so his kingdom is going to be a little bit different than the kingdoms of this world. And so that's theology as he grows up and you learn more about this kingdom. But a few things about this birth and the celebration, the announcement of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good news of the birth that was first announced to these faithful shepherds. And there's a reason, not only because Jesus Christ is a shepherd king, but he's a shepherd king, and that's been highlighted in Israel's history for as long as Israel has a history. Just off the top of your head, you can help me with this. What other famous names in Israel were also shepherds? David is a shepherd king, yeah. Joseph. Who else? Anybody else? Those are good. Yeah, that was one of the things the Egyptians hated about Israel, was they despised the shepherds. I guess they thought sheep stink and everything like that, and so they despised shepherds, and so they didn't want the shepherds around in their cities and around their place, because I guess they looked down on the shepherds, and all of Jacob's sons are shepherds. Moses is a shepherd. Remember, Moses is a shepherd. Abraham is a shepherd. All of these men, all the way back to Abel, Cain and Abel. Abel is a shepherd. Abel's not Jewish, but he's pre-Jewish, but he's a shepherd. And so this idea of faithful shepherds being called out to do the work of God, this is This is a thread that runs all through the Old Testament, and so you would find when you get to Jeremiah, for instance. So Jeremiah is a prophet at the time where Israel is being essentially turned over to Babylon, and he talks about the prophets like they're shepherds. They were shepherds to the nation. The prophets were shepherds. And so it's not just physical shepherds shepherding flocks. These people that are pastors were spiritual shepherds to the people. And that's kind of some language that's used interchangeably. The pastors and the prophets and the false prophets, the bad pastors. Jeremiah would talk about these bad ones that were leading the people astray and things like that. And so Israel has this history of the Word of God going to shepherds, particularly faithful shepherds. And God's people had a history of being faithful shepherds, from Abel to David to Abraham to Joseph to Moses. These men were pastoral leaders who cared for their flocks, not just physically their sheep, but the people. They cared for the people. And that was one of the distinct differences in leadership from guys like David to guys like Saul. David actually cares for the people, and he empathizes, and he tries to promote goodwill to the people, whereas Saul is essentially selfish, and his leadership is kind of just protect himself type leadership. So the shepherds here at the birth of this king who is going to be a shepherd king isn't new. It's something that's been foreshadowed over time. And these shepherds over time, there were teachers of the divine way, of God's way, who taught the Word of God. Guys like Moses were called pastors. The prophets were called pastors, like we talked about. And so it's just neat, these things that they're not coincidences. They're just highlighting what's going on. What is God doing here? What is the work that He's doing? And so Jesus Christ would be the chief shepherd. He would be the shepherd of people's souls. And so this is all good foreshadowing of that. A couple other things said in here that need to be noted. Jesus is said to be a Savior to all people. That God would be, when the angels announce this, they say, peace and goodwill toward men. And I say that and I highlight that because I want you to understand, and I think most of you understand it, Jesus is not a Savior or a gospel to Israel. He's a Savior and a gospel to all nations that starts in Israel. He comes out of Israel. That's how He comes out of this nation. And so He is a Savior to all people. He is God's gift to mankind. He's a divine act of goodwill toward humanity. That's what the angels say. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. A few things that would happen is Jesus Christ would grow up. We'll fast forward a little bit. And as you know, Jesus Christ would talk about Himself in these terms as the shepherd king. And particularly in John, where He says, I am the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. My sheep hear My voice. They know Me. They follow Me. These are my people. These are My sheep. And so David would say the famous Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, if the Lord is my shepherd, that means I'm His sheep. That's what David is saying. I am a member of His flock. He is my shepherd. He's the shepherd of my soul. And so that famous Psalm 23, it explains this perfectly, where as a baby, Jesus Christ is surrounded by these faithful shepherds. Interesting. So His birth is gloriously celebrated. He becomes Jesus Christ will be the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, the shepherd of our souls. And he shows, it's interesting, there's a phrase in Luke, and I think it shows up in Peter too as well, where he describes Jesus Christ as showing his people how to possess their souls. And it's an interesting thing about Jesus Christ being the chief shepherd of your souls, and he shows men how to possess their souls. Interesting. So I don't want to go too much into that. You know it's there because it describes the work that Jesus Christ is doing. So his birth is gloriously celebrated by shepherds because that's who he is. This is who he is going to be. The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am the chief shepherd. The second thing I notice in this little scenario, the shepherds are told that you're going to know who this is by where you find him. You're going to find him in a manger, which that's not usual. I've heard some guys try to make this like a normal event, and it's in the bottom of a house or something like that. I don't think it's mentioned because it's a normal event. I think it's mentioned because it's not really the place where babies are put. And so the manger is this, just, you know, it's this feeding trough for the animals. And so the shepherds are told, well, you're gonna know this is the shepherd king by where you find him. You're going to find him in this manger. The Savior is born as this Jewish child in the city of the shepherd king David. Bethlehem is the city of the shepherd king, David. The wise men would see a star, as we said, but the shepherds would find the babe lying in a manger. And the sign of the manger is, I think when I read that, it's just unmistakable for the shepherds. This is where you would feed the flock. You would feed the flock out of this little manger. It would be a feeding trough for these lambs, for these babies, and it would be a place where the animals would gather and eat. Maybe, you know, if they're not in the field, they're going to be eating out of this trough. And so this is a place where the animals are fed, which is another one of these coincidences. Well, I say coincidence, it's one of these coincidences that Jesus Christ would actually call himself, I am the bread of life. I am food for people. You come to me, you'll never hunger, you'll never thirst again. I'm satisfy the soul. And so these shepherds would see this baby wrapped in these little rags and clothes and things lying in this manger. And he's not, you know, he's not, I think about it just comparatively speaking. You know, he could have been put in, if he's going to be a king, you would think maybe he'd be put in a palace, but he's not in a palace. Maybe if he's going to be a warrior, he would be born on a military base or something like that and grow up in the military. But that's not how he enters the world. He enters the world in the way the Father wants to show what he's going to do for the world. He's going to be food for the world, not so he can literally, physically eat his body. That's not what it's about. It's spiritual nourishment. It's hungering and thirsting for righteousness that he is. And so these shepherds would find this babe wrapped in these clothes in a manger. And the reason he's there is interesting because it says there's no room for him in the inn. There's no place for him. And I've thought about that. I think I've even preached on that a couple times. But I just think about why would there not be room for him if it's not a planned event? So there's no room because they didn't plan for this. At least the people that own the inn, or, you know, wherever they're going to be staying with the family, however that works, they didn't plan for this. So there's no room. So it would just be ignorance. There's no room because of ignorance, which I think about, that has a pretty good application to these days. It has probably a pretty good application to any day in any culture, I guess. It's just there's no room for Jesus because we didn't plan for him to be here. We don't really have him in our schedule. We don't really, you know, he's not really fitting into what we're doing. And so this is one reason there's no room for him. Maybe another reason is indifference. I would think, and you can correct me if you think it's wrong, but I would think that if whoever owned the inn or the house that they're staying in knew who this was, they would probably make room for him. If they knew this is the Savior of the world, they would probably make some room and just, you know, so ignorance, no time, he doesn't fit into my schedule. No room for Jesus because he doesn't fit into my schedule. Maybe no room for Jesus because I don't really know who he is. You're just your mom's pregnant, and you know we'll do the best we can with it. And you know, but if you knew who he was, you would probably treat the situation a little more delicately. But no room because of indifference. You didn't know, and you didn't care, and it would just be too complicated. It would just be inconvenient to try to house him. And so, no room in this world, no room in the inn. That probably makes for a good sermon, but we'll move on with it. But this is how he ends up in this manger. And this is how God is going to introduce his son. The Father will introduce his son into this world. No room because of ignorance, because indifference, because inconvenience. These are all valid. I say valid. These are all real reasons people don't make room for Jesus Christ. Not that they're valid reasons, they're just reasons people don't make room for him. But here is Jesus Christ. He is the bread of life. He is going to feed the flock of God. This is what he's going to do. And the object lesson that Jesus Christ, the bread of life, is going to be found laying in this feed trough. These shepherds, I imagine they could put these things together. And this is an incredible illustration for them. Jesus would say, like I said, he said, "I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. He that believes on me shall never thirst." He would say, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled." He would tell the lady at the well in John 4, "I'll give you water and you'll never thirst again." And so he is satisfaction. He is nourishment. He satisfies the appetite for righteousness in people. And so this is who Jesus Christ is. And so the shepherds see this sign that this babe is in this manger, and there's an incredible object lesson there that is just it's so neat how it works out. So the shepherds know him by a sign. His birth is gloriously celebrated. The shepherds are going to know him by this sign. And so they decide they're going to go find him. And so they do. And they find out where Jesus Christ is, the Bible says. And as it's explained to them what's going on, they find Jesus Christ. And they go away as they hear all this. They see this baby who is the Savior of the world and will be the Savior of the world. The Bible says they're going to go away rejoicing. They're just like ecstatic that they have seen this. And it would be so incredible to live in that time and be one of these people. Especially if you're an Israelite who grew up going to synagogue. You're studying these scriptures. You're studying what we call the Old Testament. They don't call it the Old Testament. You're studying the scriptures, and you're learning about a messianic system, and you're learning about a future hope for your nation. You're learning about this person that who will gather and reconcile men to God. And so now here he is. This is him. He's born. Now here he is. What an incredible thing. And so it's no doubt that these men go away. They go away rejoicing, and they're just praising God. And they become, in the end of this, they become evangelists. I mean, they go and tell everybody, "Come see what we've seen. You guys have to see this." And so these shepherds are compelled to become evangelists for the Shepherd King. They're compelled by their own experience with Jesus Christ. They're compelled because their reality now, it matches the divine message they're given. I mean, all these things have lined up now. This is This is all these things have come together, and history has now come to fruition. They're compelled because it's God's will that the message would go out. And so it's said in verses, I'd say starting in 16, they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. So these men, these first visitors who foreshadow who Jesus Christ is going to be to all people, these first visitors, these shepherds, become evangelists for the Word of God and the work of God, and they are just so moved by this. It's just incredible. I love the excitement, and I love all of this. I love the moving of these people's hearts and the recognition of what's going on in their lives and what they're able to experience now. And so now they just can't contain themselves to just like, this is a life-changing event in our lives. And y'all have to see this. You have to see this. And so they become these ambassadors for this shepherd king. And so it's just incredible. Their own experiences, the will of God to get the message out, all of these things come together in their lives. And so these shepherds are, it's just one more thing in the story of Jesus Christ that highlights what Jesus Christ is here to do. What is the Father want Him to do? Who is He going to be? And who is He going to be for the people of the world? And so He is going to be this shepherd king that will be the chief shepherd, the shepherd of our souls, but He'll also be a king. He will be victorious. He will be victorious over sin. He will be victorious over death. And so it is just an incredible, it's just all put together so well. So you've got the glorious celebration of His birth. You've got the shepherds knowing Him by the sign. They see Him in the manger, and they understand the object lesson. This makes so much sense now. And then after all of this, and they hear this, and they see all this, they're compelled now to be ambassadors and evangelists for the shepherd king, to go tell everyone, come see what we have seen. Come see this. This is incredible. So I hope that is encouraging. I love reading this. I love this time of year. I love this. This is just changes history. This is, you're reading about things that have literally completely changed history. And so this is, it's incredible. So I hope it's helpful. I hope it's encouraging. Merry Christmas. Enjoy the week. And let's pray. And we are going to take a few prayer requests this evening, but let's pray first. Father, thank You for this time together. Thank You for these words. Thank You for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank You for giving us light and direction and life and all of these spiritual blessings in Christ. And thank You for everyone that is here this evening. Those that are with family, I pray they have a great time with their families. Those that are traveling, You give them safety as they travel. And just thank You so much for the blessings and the many blessings that are in Jesus Christ. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.